In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Half are left out. Half do not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Half hear the most painful words our Lord could ever speak. I do not know you. They were virgins, pure and spotless, blameless and upright. They outwardly kept those 10 commandments. People looked at them and said they were good, upright people. But still they are left out. They had lamps. Lamps were filled with oil at one time. These lamps are the word of God. They studied that word. They knew the history of the scriptures quite well. But still they are left out. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. They were baptized. They attended the divine service on a frequent, regular basis. They even ate of our Lord's body and blood, and still they are left out. Their flame had expired. Their oil was gone. The oil is faith, or the Holy Spirit, because wherever faith is, there the Holy Spirit is, and wherever the Spirit is, there is faith. At any rate, they don't have it. It's shocking to hear. Christ isn't comparing Christians with unbelievers or with other religions. Christ is comparing Christians with Christians. Not everyone who calls themselves a Christian will make it into the kingdom of heaven because not all have faith. Outwardly, they may be Christians, but the Lord looks at the heart. Close enough is not good enough. What they look like on the outside, pure and spotless virgins, is not good enough. What they once were is not good enough. And yes, they once were believers. The bridegroom is coming, and many who call themselves Christians will not make it because they do not have faith. God is just, and God is a consuming fire. We should fear his wrath and not do anything against him. But we don't. Instead, we fear the opinions of our neighbors. We don't want them to think poorly of us, to know how weak we are, how chaotic our lives are. We fear the opinion of our children, whether young or grown. We fear politics and wars. We fear financial decisions, climate change, and our carbon footprint, but God, not so much. He's under control. He's no longer mad or angry. He's a harmless God. And so we flip on our feel-good Christmas specials, put up a tree, some angels, and perhaps a nativity scene. We tell our kids it's really not about gifts, even as we bury them in gifts. We think that we've got this Christian God under control. He gets us. He gets us and our life. Let us remember that those five foolish also thought they had this God figured out. And yet those five left the church. They lost their faith, and they were shut out of the kingdom of heaven. These five ran after other gods who went by the same name as the true God, but they had no teeth. Those gods were kind and nice and loving. They didn't judge, but they were accepting of everyone. They didn't require oil. You could believe whatever you wanted to believe. Those gods simply want everyone to coexist and to get along, to put aside their differences for the greater good of humanity and cultivating a good life on this earth. Decorate your lamps however you want, just don't tell anyone else they did it wrong. These gods don't really even care what you believe or how you behave. For these gods know deep down inside that you're a good person who's doing his best. And those lies, those outbursts of anger, those going too far with your children, those outbursts, and those sins really aren't the real you. And so these gods, created in the fantasies of our own minds, pull us away from the true God and steal our oil. Until it's too late. The true God comes with fire. The true God comes to separate. He comes to slam the door shut. You can't change him. The end is coming. You can't soften him. He is coming quickly. You can't leave out the parts that you don't like to make him more palatable. He is coming with vengeance, with divine retribution. Five foolishly tried to control him. In the end, terror seized them as the door was shut, never to be opened again. Despite what you think, God is still a consuming fire. And he will forever punish those who do not believe in him. So we should fear his wrath and not do anything against him, for sin brings death. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, separation from God himself. There's no way around it. To believe in the true God is to believe that God is strict, rigid, unchanging, and unrelenting in his wrath. Learn the lesson well, lest you end up like those five foolish virgins. But also love and trust in this very same God. For he who is a consuming fire endured the fires of hell in your place. The wrath of God streamed over him, and he was shut out from the presence of God as he hung on the cross bearing your sins. 3 days later, he rises. The wrath of God is appeased. The garments of sin have been left in the grave. And you have now been baptized into his death and resurrection. The waters of baptism streamed over you, engulfed you, and dragged you down to the very foundations of the earth. Yet God spoke his word, and that word reached down into those waters and pulled you up to newness of life. He made you a pure and spotless virgin, undefiled. He gave you your lamp. He filled your jar with oil. So what now? Well, faith needs constant replenishment. It cannot survive without sustenance. A body cannot survive without food and drink. So also faith cannot survive without eating and drinking the promises of God. It will eventually grow weak and feeble and die if it's separated from that word of God. You cannot survive without the word of God. For only this gospel of forgiveness is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. By that gospel, God created faith. And by that very same gospel, God sustains your faith. For where faith is, there is always the Holy Spirit. He is the one who strengthens and sustains faith, and he does it through his word and sacraments. So Christ urges you not to put him away. You aren't wise enough to be saved. You aren't good enough on your own to be saved. You aren't pure enough, whether outwardly or inwardly, to make it to the end. But neither do you need to fear, because God constantly gives you the very thing that you need. Therefore, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us gather together, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You gather to hear. You gather to eat. You gather so that the Holy Spirit may once more fill your oil of faith, and you be found ready on the day when Christ returns. Faith is not knowledge, and knowledge is only a part of faith. Just because you know who Christ is doesn't mean you believe in him. Many journey out to meet the bridegroom with the knowledge, content to leave the jar of oil behind. But faith always brings its jar. Faith believes that it cannot be saved unless God gives the oil of gladness. Faith wants to receive from God, not just once in a while, but constantly. Faith wants to eat and drink. Faith wants to abound in good works. Faith wants to wait for Christ to come. And that is why you sit here right now. It's not because it's Sunday and you go to church, that's what you do, but faith has made it your habit. You come confessing that if God did not sustain your faith, then you'd be lost forever. You have come desiring what only God can give you. And you will not be disappointed. For God has spoken that gospel forgiveness to you yet again. Your sins are gone. You are pure and spotless. He has washed clean your robes with his forgiving word yet again. And he will feed you his very body and blood, the price of your salvation. Let us not abuse his love by our sins and so incur his wrath. But let us be self-controlled and live in godliness. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that we may live together with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.